Right. So we're diving deep today into Pepper v. Litton, a really important case in bankruptcy law from 1939.
Yeah, absolutely a landmark case.
And we've got a bunch of stuff to look at here. So we've got like some podcast guidance that's like written for law students. We've got a detailed case brief. We've got a standard case brief. And we've even got some pieces of the actual opinion from Justice Douglas.
Wow.
So we're really going to get into this. Our goal is to understand how this case set up, you know, that the bankruptcy courts can kind of look beyond the surface to make sure things are fair, especially when you've got these insiders involved.
Yeah, I mean, Pepper v. Litton is such a foundational case because it really deals with one of the core, purposes of bankruptcy court, which is to distribute assets fairly. And as you said, particularly when you have these insiders, these people who are in control of the company, how do we make sure that they're not taking advantage?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's set the scene a little bit here. So we've got this guy, Scott Litton. He pretty much owns this company, Dixie Splint Coal Company. And then we've got this other guy, Pepper. He's suing Dixie Splint for unpaid royalties. But here's where it gets interesting. While that lawsuit is still going on, Litton gets a $30,000 judgment against his own company for like back salary that he says they owe him. And then he uses that judgment to buy up all of Dixie Splint's assets at this like kind of shady auction, like really cheap. And then, surprise, surprise, Dixie Splint files for bankruptcy so they don't have to pay Pepper. So the bankruptcy court was like, we see what you're doing here. But then the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeal said, hold on, there's this thing called res judicata, like a matter that's already been decided can't be like looked at again. So it goes all the way up to the Supreme Court. So what jumps out to you just from these like initial facts?
Well, it seems pretty blatant, right? I mean, you have this clear attempt to manipulate the legal system. So Litton is using his control over the company, and his control over the state court system, to try to get himself in a better position than a legitimate creditor like Pepper. So, the timing of the salary claim that he was able to buy these assets for such a low price, that all suggests to me that, there was some intent here to defraud Pepper. And I think the Fourth Circuit's focus on res judicata is really interesting because it brings up, this classic tension in the law between, the need for judgments to be final versus, the role of the bankruptcy court to make sure that everybody's being treated fairly.
So the huge question for the Supreme Court was, can bankruptcy courts step in and be like, nope, this isn't right? Even if there's this state court judgment that looks valid on paper, can they subordinate a claim, which is basically moving it to the back of the line? Or can they completely disallow these insider claims when it seems like something shady is going on?
And as you've already said, the answer was a resounding yes. Justice Douglas, in his opinion, makes it very clear that bankruptcy courts are courts of equity. They're not bound by strict legal technicalities. They can look beyond, the surface of what's going on in order to prevent injustice. And in this specific case, the court essentially threw out Litton's claim because they found that he had violated this duty that he had to the creditors, what we call a fiduciary duty.
Okay, so let's dig into that a little bit more. This fiduciary duty thing. What exactly does that, like, when we're talking about a case like this, why is that so important?
Well, if you think about corporate law generally, a fiduciary duty is like a legal obligation to act in the best interest of someone else. And in the context of a corporation, officers, directors, and controlling stockholders like Litton in this case, they have this duty not just to the company itself, but also to the creditors, especially when the company is in financial trouble. It's not okay for them to just try to help themselves. Justice Douglas actually had a really memorable line in this opinion. He called this, trying to benefit yourself when you're supposed to be looking out for other people. He called it the ancient precept against serving two masters.
I like that.
So Litton was trying to kind of play both sides, trying to be a creditor who gets paid back while also being the guy in charge of the company that owes the money.
Okay, so this self-dealing that Litton was doing, getting this back salary judgment, then buying up the assets super cheap, that was a direct violation of this duty, to be fair to all the people who had something at stake in Dixie Splints, including Pepper.
The court didn't see his actions as you know, just being a clever businessman. They saw it as breaking, you know, a serious trust as going against basic fairness.
Uh-huh.
And this is where this idea of equitable subordination comes in.
Okay.
You can think of it as the power of the bankruptcy court to say, hey, you acted unfairly, so your claim goes to the back of the line.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting here is the court said, even if Litton's salary claim, you know, looked okay on the surface, the way he used it as part of this whole plan to screw over the other creditors
right.
means that it can be moved down the priority list or even thrown out entirely.
Wow. So yeah, even though he had this judgment from another court, which usually means you're in a pretty strong position.
Right.
The bankruptcy court could look deeper.
Yeah.
At the actual behavior and say, nope, not going to fly. You can't use the legal system to basically commit fraud.
Exactly. That's a really important takeaway.
Yeah.
The court, you know, specifically addressed that res judicata argument. They said, even though a state court judgment is usually binding it, it doesn't stop a bankruptcy court from looking into whether a claim is fair and equitable, especially if there's evidence of fraud that wasn't really addressed in the original lawsuit.
Okay.
The bankruptcy courts have a special role to play in making sure that the whole bankruptcy process is on the up and up.
Right. And it wasn't just the timing of the bankruptcy filing, right?
Right.
I mean, the fact that he got that judgment right before Dixie Splint started having serious problems, that seems a little too convenient.
Yeah. I mean, come on, the timing of it all, getting the judgment, the execution sale, the bankruptcy filing.
Right.
You know, it all points to this plan to disadvantage Pepper.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that his judgment mom might have technically been perfected even before that 4-month preference period.
Right.
It didn't matter, you know, because the whole thing was messed up from the beginning because of his bad behavior.
Right.
It really comes down to the idea that substance is more important than form. Okay.
The court looked at what actually happened, not just what was written down on paper.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So why is Pepper v. Litton still so important today? Why should law students and people who work in bankruptcy care about a case that's this old?
Well, if we zoom out a bit, you know, this case really solidified the idea that bankruptcy courts are there to make sure things are fair.
Okay.
It established that they have these broad powers to stop people from abusing the bankruptcy system, especially insiders who might try to take advantage of their position.
Uh-huh.
It also set a really strong precedent for holding insiders to a high standard.
Right.
You know, self-dealing, putting your own interests above the company and its creditors, that can have some serious consequences in bankruptcy.
Okay.
And finally, it reminds us that even important legal doctrines like res judicata, you know, they're not absolute.
Okay.
When justice demands it, they can be overridden by this bigger principle of equity.
Right. So for a law student who's just starting out, what are the big takeaways from this case? What are the things they should really remember? I think there are three really key things to keep in mind.
Okay.
First, always remember that bankruptcy courts aren't just about following a set of rules.
Okay.
It's not just about checking boxes. It's about making sure things are fair. They have the power to look beyond the surface and address conduct that is fraudulent or inequitable.
Okay.
Second, when you're dealing with insiders in a bankruptcy case, remember that they're held to a higher standard.
Right.
They have these fiduciary duties that require them to put the interests of the company and the creditors first. And if they engage in self-dealing, their claims can be disallowed or moved down the priority list.
Okay.
And third, don't just assume that because there's a judgment from another court that that's the end of the story in bankruptcy court.
Right.
Especially if there were issues of fraud or unfairness that weren't fully considered in the original case.
Okay. But I think before we wrap up, that quote you mentioned from Justice Douglas.
Yeah.
Really gets to the heart of this decision.
Absolutely. He said, substance will not give way to form, and technical considerations will not prevent substantial justice from being done.
Wow.
I mean, that one sentence really sums up what bankruptcy equity is all about and the core principle that guided the court in Pepper v. Litton. It shows that fairness and justice are paramount, even in this really complex and technical area of law.
Yeah. And that part about the ancient precept against serving two masters.
Right.
That's a great way to explain the problem with what Litton was trying to do.
Exactly. You can't try to be on both sides of the fence like that.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that the law isn't just a bunch of strict rules.
Right.
It's supposed to help us reach fair outcomes.
And as you continue your legal studies, you know, it's really important to remember that the law isn't just about interpreting rules, literally. It's really about this pursuit of fairness. And Pepper v. Litton is a perfect example of how courts can use these equitable principles to make sure that the legal system is working properly, especially when you have powerful people trying to manipulate the system for their own benefit.
Yeah, I like that.
This case really shows how bankruptcy courts can step up and protect the interests of everyone involved.
Yeah, it definitely shows that balance between sticking to the rules and making sure things are fair.
Exactly.
So as you're learning more about the law, think about how these ideas from Pepper v. Litton apply to today's world with these complicated financial structures and the responsibilities of people in leadership roles. It's something to really think about.
Yeah, it's definitely food for thought.
Thanks for joining me for this deep dive. Until next time.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.